What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
good morning, Austin, Texas, and welcome to B&E. It is Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Monty Williams joining me again on this Friday morning. Ty, of course, doing what Ty does best, and he does it better than anybody in the business, as a matter of fact. And he's young. How about that, Monty? We can have him for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic. Got that good cartilage.
Yeah, he's got that good cartilage. It's not going to go bad anytime soon.
That's right.
Now, he has played the game, though.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that he was a Shap.
Oh yeah,
until yesterday.
He's been beat up on.
Yeah,
he's been in championship tilts before.
Yeah,
he understands that.
No, I was at the game at NRG when with North Shore won in overtime.
That was a rough night for me.
Yeah, I remember that was it. Boy, those were all great games. And then was it
Lake Travis's right after
Lake Travis came out and that was
Katie.
And with Cedar, Paul Porter, that running back Porter.
I think Hudson Card got hurt in that game. He came out, tried to play, got hurt. And the game before we played North Shore was Cedar Park, and I forgot who they played, but they actually won the state championship.
That's right.
But the good old days.
Yep.
The good old days, for sure.
Best ticket, let me tell you, that is one of the best sports bargains there is to buy that. Oh, I had so much fun. I have twins, and they're the same age as Ty, as a matter of fact. So, Ty, you look at me as a father figure, please.
There you go.
But anyway, we went a couple of times. We went to Jerry World. Just once. But, man, that's a great bargain.
I love that stadium. I love the place.
Oh, me too.
I can honestly say this. Between going to Jerry World and going to Houston, down to Houston for a game, I like the people at Houston a lot better. I like the facility and the way they treat people down in Houston. And some people say I'm nuts.
No.
Jerry's World, it's newer and it's more extravagant looking and all that. But NRG is a really, really nice. The people there are really, really nice. They guide you to your seat. They talk. They give you all the run of the whole place. I mean, I enjoy going there.
Now, I've never seen a Texans game there, but in the high school playoffs, you got to go anywhere you wanted in the stadium. So we'd watch a quarter from, the 50-yard line a couple of rows up and one quarter from the top of the stadium. Jerry World, you can't do that. They cordon it off, and you're kind of stuck with where they make you sit. I'm with you on that.
No doubt about it. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated. The sun will shine today and start to get a little cooler tonight, Monty. We may even get below freezing tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Just for a day or maybe a day or two, but that's about it. And then we'll be back in the 50s and 60s next week. Lots of sunshine. So hopefully we'll get some rain on. Maybe there's possibly a little bit of rain today, but tomorrow will be sunny. But the 70, 75s are over with for a while. We're going to be in that 60s and high 50 range, so. And that's okay with me.
I didn't know this, but the snowiest month of the year in Austin is always February.
February. And some of the coldest weather we have is in the month of February.
Winter storm was February a couple years ago.
Yeah. My almanac says that we've got some cold days ahead of us. As long as it's just cold days, not cold weeks.
Now, is that the farmer's almanac?
That's the farmer's almanac, yeah.
And you're pretty good with that, huh? You buy into that?
I buy into that. You know, the farmer's almanac last year, I mean, I said it out loud a few times. The Farmer's Almanac said we're going to be back to our normal, kind of normal temperatures, and they called it, we're going to have our normal Texas summers, but that was not normal. Last year was not a normal. Yeah. I've been here 30 years. I've never seen the heat like it was last year in the drought. I mean, that was, And so they called it normal that wasn't so normal. Last summer was not normal.
Seems like the, either 2013 or something, we had property out at Bandera, and the creek ran dry, Bucky. The creek went completely dry that year.
I love the lake in Bandera. I love Bandera, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
If I could find a little spot, Bob Cole used to have a little home on the lake there, and he ended up selling that place.
You talking about Medina? Lake Medina?
Yeah, Lake Medina. Okay. And that thing was starting to get dry, a little dry.
Yeah, here. No, it's
That's a big sucker.
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of water. They're really suffering.
Yeah, I need to know a little bit more about Bandera because we, you know, the times I went with Bob, it was go there, stay overnight, and then come back to Austin. But it looked like a cool little town.
Oh, it's real cool. If you had, I forget the name of the highway, but, you know, it's just a little farm to market. But out there near the Bandera Electric Co-op, if you take your left out there and head out towards Utopia, that is one of the most beautiful drives in Texas, you know, not called the Davis Mountains or Marathon or Marfa, but it is a beautiful little drive from Bandera to Utopia.
Yeah, I've got friends that are getting ready to, you know, some of the Texas Cheaters are taking their wives. They're going camping at Big Bend in February. I mean, they're sleeping in a tent. Isn't that, I mean, I've been to Big Bend when it's been June, and the evenings there are a little chilly. You know, down in the valley there of Big Bend. And I got to believe in February, it can't be pleasant in a tent. It just, I mean.
No, they're camping up in that Chisos.
Chisos, yeah. Down, yeah. Yeah, I stay at the Chisos, the hotel there.
Yeah.
I go up top and stay at the hotel. I don't do camping.
I'm with you.
I do hiking, but I don't do camping.
No, I like mattresses and pillows.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm with you.
And heat and air conditioning, that's what I do. So they're going to do that with their wives. I said, hey, y'all have a great get together.
I don't like brushing my teeth and then cooking in that same water. I'd rather not do that.
No, man, I don't think of that. NFL news. We know we talked yesterday about Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn will stay a Cowboy. Ty, good stuff for you, man.
Yes.
Now we thought about that yesterday, but he's getting paid like a.
He's getting his.
He's getting his head coaching money. I mean, the offers that were there, obviously, and I think most of those were offers that he could have had, but. There was just not a good fit. That Arizona deal now I think of him as being a pretty smart dude. That wasn't a fit for him. And there'll be plenty of other jobs because that defense for the Dallas Cowboys won't get worse with him at the helm. It's not going to take step backs. I think it's only going to take a step forward.
Well, this will be year four, right?
Three, I believe, for him. Is it three or four?
I thought he had a year before Micah Parsons. I could be wrong, though. Either way, you know, another year in the system, everybody will get better. I think these DBs, the young DBs, will benefit a lot from him staying.
Yeah, that's a good deal for him. Now, Nathaniel Hackett just became the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets, which means is Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Now, is he going to? Is Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that's what they thought in Denver last year Hackett got signed as the head coach. I mean, I think that was the whole idea behind him even coming there in the first place. So,
obviously
no guarantees.
Yeah, there is no guarantees for that. And of course, Frank Reich gets a head job at Carolina. So there's still a few open. Texans are still available. Denver and Arizona. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be somebody. Not good is going to get that Arizona job. I'll just say that. Somebody with hardly any experience that we're not going to know anything about is going to end up in Arizona.
It's going to be one of those guys that are kind of setting up to fail one-year deals.
Sure. Oh, it's a one-year deal, and once that thing fails and then Kyler gets –
A Lovie Smith.
Yeah, and then Kyler gets healthy. You know what I'm saying?
Where does Kingsbury land? Do you think he stays in the NFL, or you think he goes back and –
I think he takes a year off.
I think he takes a year off.
But, I mean, ultimately, do you think he's, like, going to be on the staff of a – NFL team, or you think he's going to go back to college?
I think he get a mid-major type of coaching job in college if he really wants to, if that's what he wants to come back to do.
I don't think he'll come back to do anything besides be an office coordinator at the very least.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to be a position coach when I try to get
at least
him to
in
be
NFL,
the wide receiver. Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Maybe, no, he wouldn't be a quarterback coach, would he, again?
Depends on how much they pay him and how long he takes off. He takes off 2 years, then he'd come back as a quarterback coach. He'd take a good job as a quarterback coach. But – I would say after 1 year, he's coming back as a coordinator. You know, and now who knows? That dude may get on TV and do just a great job at TV if he decides that's what he's going to do. You know, put on a nice-looking suit, smells good, looks good. Yeah.
New Braunfels guys are glib anyway.
They are.
Well, he's definitely – he's getting paid for these next few years.
Oh, sure he is.
Oh, yeah.
So if he really wants to just, I mean, didn't he buy a one-way ticket to Thailand?
Yeah, he's hanging out at Bangkok right now, just hanging out there for a while. He'll stay, he'll enjoy himself until he's ready to come back and start looking at video. You know, he'll start watching film. That'll happen. Basically, coaches, when they take a break, when they come back, first thing they start doing is they start looking at films of games, of their old games or where they coach, if they're offensive coordinators. They want to see the film. They've got all every tape. It's not like they have to go to the office to get the tape. They've got it all at home. They'll start getting into that. That's when they start getting back, getting that feeling. Do I have that feeling? Do I want to watch more, or do I want to cut this off and go get a drink?
You know, it wasn't too long ago that Frank Reich was really highly regarded as a coach. I mean, he had a
coordinator in
kind of a and he had kind of a a golden time there for a little while. If things looked like they were headed in the right direction. Now it's like I think people think the Panthers have somehow settled on him. I think he's a good coach.
I it's weird to me how fast he got another head coaching job after being fired midseason.
Yeah, I mean it's he didn't have to take any time off.
At all, no.
Well, what they're looking for in Carolina is, you know, they their interim coach was fantastic at the end. You know, they've kind of come back. They came back and almost was in contention for the playoffs. At
Steve Wilks.
But what they're looking for an offensive guy right now too. They want an offensive coach. They really do, but they don't have a quarterback.
Do you think it was more of none of the better candidates wanted to go there because of that? They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, well, Sean Payton said no.
Well, I don't think Sean Payton's going to go anywhere.
No, that's another guy. Everything has to fit at certain
guys. Well, you got to pay that guy like $25 million a year and what?
You're going to pay his staff huge, too, because he's going to bring the best guys.
This New Orleans Saints owner is asking for like 2 first-round picks just to have him, you know. And you don't know how long you're going to have Sean Payton for. You've seen him already kind of put a franchise in a corner with him being like, all right, well, sure. I'm going to retire. Like, good luck.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of coaches end up, they like the media gig more than they thought they were gonna. You know, Cowher being front and center on that you're getting paid pennies on the dollar or what you might get paid as an NFL head coach, but the money's not bad. You're still looking at film. You're not scratching much of a competitive itch.
Well, you're
but
making
you're
statements
still,
about everybody else. Yeah, I'm making about you.
Yeah.
It's a lot less work.
Yeah, it's a lot less work, and you're still, you know, in the arena. You're still in the game somehow. I could see where Sean Payton ends up, you know, for a few years doing just some media stuff.
Yeah, and that's why I thought Sean McVay, I didn't think he was going to come back this year. I thought, you know, it's good to make a decision and let everybody know, okay, I'm coming back. Don't give you that half. I'm half in, I'm half out.
But it's weird with him because, I mean, he's a very young guy, and he's obviously very bright when it comes to, you know, game planning and strategic stuff. So I just
– Not everybody needs 5 Super Bowls. Sometimes if you get one – Sometimes if you get one, you're feeling pretty good.
If he did go to TV, like it would be completely expected that he would come back eventually, right?
Yeah, in the long run, yeah.
Unless he became like a Tony Romo kind of –
That kind of money
like
guy.
An actual commentator.
Right.
Like a color guy. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that narrative for the past 2 years has been kind of, you know, overplayed a little
bit. Yeah, not everybody gets that itch to come back to coaching once you're out of coaching.
I can see where as long as you – I mean, that it's great fun to sit back and you know, comment on the game and have this big viewership, and you're still, you know, prepping week to week to week. You're still on that weekly schedule.
Yeah, but you're not getting up at 4:30 in the morning,
you know,
5 o'clock in the morning and going in.
Yeah, your stomach's not perforated from worry.
No, it's perforated from those checks you get, that's for sure. Those are big checks, you know, and for a guy like Sean Payton, and obviously, and Romo, those guys, that's big money there.
Boy, Romo, you know, I mean, he has come in for just withering criticism the last year. They say now he just mails it in and that.
Nah, I mean.
Oh, I like him.
I like him too.
Bucky and I were talking before we came on the air. One thing I struggled with when I was a full-time sports reporter is just being so eager to criticize people. It just to me, I found that hard to wake up every.
That's what gets clicks, and that's.
I know. Well, this was back. Now, Ty, this was back before there were clicks.
Here we go, y'all.
The only clicks were in my knees.
Yeah. And you're right. It's hard to be a critic.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just
around that. Yes.
And especially a columnist, they come in, you start second guessing coaches. A lot of times, you have no idea what's going. You have no idea of the situation. You have no idea of the. the progress of thought about how they arrived at a certain play, and these people would pull their hair out about the coach calling the wrong play, and I could never get into that mindset. It's a game of uncertainty.
It's one play, amongst many plays that they have to call.
I think that's why religion is so big in sports, is because you're offering things up to a higher power. You don't know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Monty. Yeah, and of course, Dan Quinn coming back to the Cowboys. Cowboys fans, hopefully you are excited about that. I'm excited for the Cowboys, for Dan Quinn not to take a job for a job's sake to say he's a head coach once again. I think that's a good move by the Cowboys. I think it's a great move by Jerry Jones, keeping that guy. Mike McCarthy's got to be one of the happiest guys around. To have that guy stay back for another year, that helps him out an awful lot. And I think the defense is going to be even better next year.
Yeah.
As I said, Frank Reich getting that job in Carolina. Carolina's looking for an offensive-minded coach. They first of all, they better find an offensive-minded quarterback.
Darnold not going to do it?
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to work their deal. Frank has been around for a long time. He's got to figure that out. The Texans have got to figure out who's going to be their coach. I mean, some of these places are going to end up with guys that they don't want. Somebody has to coach. Somebody has to be the head coach of your organization next year. You know, for Denver, Arizona, which, man, I wouldn't wish that gig on anybody. No. But you know, that's going to end up being, it's either going to be a very young coach that's been a coordinator around the league, somebody that's been at Arizona, somebody that understands that whole Arizona organization, they're just not going to get a really, really good coach, I don't believe, in Arizona right now, because I don't think Kyler Murray, you got to have an offensive-minded coach there, because Kyler Murray is your franchise quarterback. He's not going anywhere. You got to hope that guy, after a year, has been working on getting himself healed and getting not only his body healed, but his mind healed to be an NFL franchise quarterback. So offensively, you got to have a game plan ready to go for when he gets back, because he is going to be the guy. Because the owner is going to look at you crossways if you all of a sudden start thinking you're making coaching moves and saying, he doesn't fit my system. Oh, no, Kyler Murray's going to fit your system, coach. No matter what you think and no matter what mindset you have as a new coach going to Arizona, Kyler Murray is going to be in there. They paid him too much not to be.
I talked to a couple of my friends yesterday after we had the conversation about, you know, who's the bigger curse, who has the bigger upside, whether it's Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray. And the people I talked to were more on Ty's. They were saying Murray is the guy they go with. And it just, the upside is there is a potential upside that you won't have with Russell Wilson.
Well, it's hard to be.
And that's what we were saying, is the downside is why I take Russell Wilson, is his downside's less than somebody who's an uncomfortable geek is better than somebody who I think is, like, you know, got a bad attitude.
Long term, you think you can get over those hurdles with?
I mean, we don't have to talk about that. We went on a 20-minute tangent on this yesterday, but are you saying that it's more the off the field thing or stuff than it is on the field?
No, they were saying that forget the off the stuff thing. On the field is the only thing that matters. Yeah. And Kyler Murray has got more upside on the field than Russell Wilson.
And I think
does.
Kyler Murray's lowest of the low is still higher than Russell Wilson's lowest of the
right
low.
Right now.
And that's
absolutely,
like, the trajectory on that is looking like Russell Wilson's not going to get any better from this point on. You know, even if he can fix some of the little things, it's not going to be.
He's not going to be the Russell Wilson of old. He's not leading you.
I don't think he'll be a top 15 quarterback the rest of his
career.
Yeah,
it'll be hard. That's just longevity. I mean, that starts to work against you here eventually, Monty.
I just had to point out my market research. It indicated that
his market.
Kyler Murray seemed to come out on top.
All right, we got, of course, we've got the championship games this weekend. And, of course, Texas-Tennessee tomorrow, big game. Ty, your thoughts on the Longhorns tomorrow, what they have to do. We need Brock Cunningham to keep shooting them threes.
Like me and Zay were saying yesterday, you know, 4 to 5 of those shots a game.
That 5 is good with me.
Well, only one of them has to go in. You know, if you can get on a little streak here where you're confident enough in yourself to be making one of these shots, you know, getting on – if we can get Brock 5 points a game, I think that helps this team
a lot more than people think. He's also been pretty good at rebounding. You know, he had 6 or 7 rebounds the other night.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a part of his deal, is to be the junkyard dog. Getting after
loose
it.
Balls.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, we're going to need that from the whole roster tomorrow. Tennessee, they're a tough team. We talked about it yesterday. They're a very similar team to Texas in roster makeup. Not really a dominant big man, which kind of, you know, is good for us, because whenever we play a team like Purdue that has a a traditional center, it doesn't seem to go well for the Horns.
Gonzaga, we crushed them.
Yeah, but, I mean, Drew Timmy, he's not – I'm talking like a big – like I'm talking seven-footer, you know, like a guy, a 250, 275 guy. That
who
just
hangs
dominate,
around the rim.
Yeah, uh-huh. Dominate down low. I don't know, just making your shots and trying to limit turnovers, because that's Tennessee's game plan, is to turn the ball over, and points off turnovers will be the biggest stat tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. And you've got to play two halves of defense tomorrow, because Rick
Barnes is going to be a low scoring game.
Yeah,
though.
Rick Barnes' team is going to play two halves of defense.
Don't expect 70-80 points from either of these teams.
Come
tomorrow.
On, man, where's my 80?
No, you're getting 55.
No, 55 points.
60 max.
65 max. Give me 65 max.
No way.
God.
I think if you're betting on this game tomorrow, the under.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I would take it.
These teams are not going to go up and down the court and blister
things. Got a rock
fight
going on here tomorrow?
Yeah. No, they're going to be grabbing each other. And, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game for sure.
Yeah, fouls will be at a premium, because there will be a lot of guys sitting on the bench with three fouls early. I hope not.
I don't know. I mean, they'll let them play. I just don't think the style of play is to – I mean, you're not, I don't think you're going to see a boat race at all.
No, I would agree. It's going to be physical. The games, NFL games, Kansas City, of course. I'm still leaning Cincinnati tomorrow, or on Sunday. I'm leading Cincinnati, and I'm leaning Eagles. I think Philadelphia, yeah. Cincinnati in the Super Bowl. I'd like to give Brock Purdy, you know, Kyle Shanahan, kind of a little bit of an edge with his coaching, but I'm not doing that. Philadelphia's been either 1 or 1A. As a football team, period, in the NFL this year, even when their guy goes down, that's still a strong defense. I got to believe that they'll find a way.
What's Purdy's most impressive road win? You know, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but you know, I mean, going to Philadelphia,
it's a lot tougher. I mean, Seattle's a tough place to play. That's probably the toughest road environment he's played in, but Philadelphia. It's a little bit different, and there's a lot better team.
Yeah, yes, a lot better team.
The team will pressure him tomorrow. Defensively on Sunday, he's going to have pressure in his face. He's going to have to make some plays where guys, you know, but, you know, that's where Kyle Shanahan comes in. You know, you can't let him sit in the pocket. He's not – I mean, he's done it, and as we talked about yesterday, the guy throws from every angle. He's got all the throws. But will he have the time to have all the throws? And that's what I think that's what gets them. Plus, they don't get. I don't think that San Francisco 49ers defense, as good as they are, I don't think they're going to be able to hold Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is running on Sunday. He's not. He won't be hesitant to run if there's an opening for, you know, what can happen to them on, especially if they're throwing on first down. If it's not there, if his first look isn't there, and he's be able to look around. His offensive line is good enough, even against the 49ers, to give him second looks. You know, his second receiver or third receiver, and they play. And the tight ends are good. So, but I think he runs a lot in this.
I agree.
I think he wants to be in a championship game. He wants to be in the Super Bowl badly, and he's willing to give up his body. And that's a big old body to give up. Purdy doesn't have a big body to give up.
No. I think Hurts' legs are going to be an incredible factor. I, you know, same thing, switching over to the other game. I think Cincinnati's going to run the ball maybe 15 times more than they did last week.
I agree.
I think they're really going to try and pound it.
Yeah, and I'm still not sold. Even during the Super Bowl times, I've not been really sold on Kansas City's defense.
On the Chiefs' defense,
There's just something about them. And, Ty, as we said yesterday, they've got two rookies in their secondary.
Yeah.
That have played pretty well.
They started off the year a little slow, as you would expect from any rookie DB, beyond like a Sauce Gardner this year, who's all pro in his rookie year. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's Christian Fulton, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but they – I mean, they're probably getting their biggest test so far beyond. I mean, what was the score to the first Cincinnati Chiefs game this year? The Bengals kind of whooped their ass in that game.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's right. The first one was, I think, an ass whooping. The second one was close. Three of them have been pretty close, and two of them have been a nice win for Cincinnati.
It's going to come down into who's the more physical team. Like last week. I mean, in the playoffs. If you can punch the other team in the mouth in the first quarter, and if the Bengals can get a 10-point lead, I don't see the Chiefs being able with a hobbled Mahomes coming back from that. But I'm still leaning Chiefs, just the home advantage, And I
that point, huh? That one point?
Well, I mean, it's been even. I've seen Cincinnati favored for a few days. But, I mean, Patrick Mahomes practicing, being a full participant yesterday was huge.
Yeah, he practiced. He practiced the whole practice yesterday, did all the things. Randy, I saw him running up and down the field.
I think this is the week that you see Kadarius Toney really get fully involved.
27-24 was the Bengals-Chiefs.
So maybe not. Maybe not as
Bengals scored 10 points in the 10 points in the fourth quarter and shut KC out.
Was that last year in the playoffs, or was that this year in the regular season?
This year in the regular season, it looks like.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I think that was the final score last year in the playoffs too.
Well,
it's going to be a great game, regardless. You can go wrong.
This says it's December 4th, so that would have been the playoffs. That would have been this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the end of the year.
So 27-24.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it'll be a good game.
Week 13, yeah.
You're not going to get the best of Patrick Mahomes. You're going to get a lot of ad-lib stuff. And I know he lives on that, and people love the way he does that. But there are times when you see this guy with all the sidearm throws and all the other things that he does that are magic. When that guy sets his feet and he throws the ball, and he throws the long ball, or he throws that, you know, the ball 20 yards or more down the field, when he sets his feet, he is excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you can't spend a whole day against this Cincinnati defense throwing sidearm and off balance.
Well, think if he starts to limp a little bit. I mean, you know, think if that high ankle sprain begins to manifest a little bit on Mahomes, they're going to come
jogging,
after
he's
him.
He's jogging around at practice. He ain't running for his life.
No. And I mean, he's not doing abrupt change. Yeah, it's one thing to do the karaoke at half speed. But, I mean, if he starts limping, they're going to send people like guided missiles to try and get him out of there.
Yeah, and Cincinnati is not a team tied. It blitzes an awful lot. They don't like to bring guys. They really don't. They don't blitz that often. So they're going to rely on the guys up front to pressure this offensive line of Kansas City, which has gotten better and better, you know, throughout the season. So this isn't like Cincinnati's offensive line, that they've switched eight guys.
Yeah,
on the
no, they
line.
Really
this group
really
has been
patchworked.
Together. I mean, this is the leading offensive team in the NFL that they're playing against. I just don't like Patrick Mahomes with a limp. I know he's good. I don't like my quarterback limping trying to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think there's hero ball in your quarterback on one leg to get you there.
Do you think he's going to have to play a hero ball in this game? Do you think it's going to come down to a game-winning drive?
I think he's going to take chances. I mean, he takes chances a lot with his throws and stuff, but I don't think a lot of that stuff will work against this team, this particular team.
If you see that he's not full speed and you adjust so that your pressure's up the middle, trying to smoke him to the outside so you can catch him out there.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, those are the types of things where they force him not to be able to sit in the pocket.
Yeah.
And if they flush him from one side to the other, I know he throws well on the run. Not with a bad leg.
Not if you're hurt.
Not with a bad leg. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Monty Williams is with us today. It's Friday. It's B&E.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E, Friday morning. Good Friday to all of you out there. It should be a beautiful weekend for you here in the ATX. It really, really should be. It's supposed to be a really nice weekend. I love a little sun and fun. And it, even if the nights are, you know, if we get some 30s for a couple nights, just a couple now, I don't need the fear. I don't want the Revenant again. Please, I mean, I pray for that. Me and my Revenant jacket, my Ariat jacket, that first freeze was just too much. And that's the exact thing I thought about. When I was out there at 2 o'clock in the morning wondering if my pump house wasn't going to work, I went out at 2 in the morning during the Revenant, like night number 2 when the wind was hustling. I was walking through there, this little jacket on, hoodie on, and I felt like Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie. Like, I was just waiting for the bear to come out of nowhere and just
Were you not
me.
One of the people that was hold up here? I know, like, BK.
Hell no, I wouldn't stay up here with all these nasty dudes. I wasn't going to stay in it.
Did this building lose power?
Oh,
no,
it stayed okay. But I wasn't going to be up here in the super spreader event either.
Yeah.
All those guys.
There was like 8 people up here sleeping on the floor.
Oh, it was nasty.
Yeah. Oh, that's just
pizza deliveries. I mean, they were going. It was good. It was good for
Dave talks about it like it was just a week-long sleepover.
Yeah.
Good time.
It was nasty.
No, we
it's nasty enough.
We didn't
have
electricity.
In this room where you want to come in here and clean this room.
We didn't have electricity for 4 days. We ended up having to go to the great Ken Herman and house and stay there one night. They had power because they lived next to a reservoir and a fire station. So that little tiny part of the grid continued to have power. We were out of power for 4 days.
I think we missed it for maybe a day, and that was because of the pipes freezing, because I screwed up. And in my little I got a pump to the well, and then I have into the tank, and from the tank into a pump house that then pushes the water up. But I had done some messing around with the switches, and I may have cut off the heat in the little pump house. Dude,
when you say may have, I
did.
Guess you did.
If it stops, it stops. Okay, I didn't may have. I cut it off. But now I'm looking, you know, and if anybody can help us out there in the audience and can help me, my wife, because she thinks in the end of times is coming, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to be, she doesn't want another Revenant scene. What she really needs, and I need electricity. Not when things freeze, that's okay. Electricity, not a big deal. It's the electricity that pumps the water.
Sure.
Women need water.
Sure.
They don't care if it's dark. They can do flashlight things and candles and all that stuff, but they can't be without water. They can't be without flushing the toilet. They can't be without doing their hair, taking a shower and things like that. So I need to get a generator to the little pump house that if something happens into the house, I can hit the generator. So we know when we built the house, we probably should have had a Generac or whatever that would, you know, just when things went out. So now I'm trying to figure out how can we get a generator to where the pump house is if the electricity goes out that can still pump it up.
Sure.
Pump it up to the big house.
That ought to be.
And I'm a fool too, because I want to do solar so that.
Nah, you're just that's not being a fool. That's not being a fool.
I don't know how long you can hang on solar.
Well, you know, the battery stuff is still an issue. When they get the batteries down, and it won't be many years before you will be able to
have a battery
collect
that can go
sun
for
2 off
weeks.
Your roof and put it in that battery, and it's going to be like a savings account, and it'll be there when you need it, then that's great.
Because gas
they're not
is always
right
what
now.
They do. Generators now are, you know, is lawnmower,
it,
pull it.
Yeah.
Is it one of those deals like with Tesla, how, you know, you buy a Tesla to be more environmentally conscious, but whenever that Tesla battery, you know, gets decommissioned, it ends up being way worse for the environment than a regular car?
I just like for it to work. I'll figure out the environment part later. I'll put it under the couch when it goes bad. I mean, but
just get
how long does it last? How long will
it
last?
Then, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm looking at now. How do I get?
Oh, I think it's a great purchase to get a gas-fired little generator just to have on standby. I wouldn't have thought that up until losing power for 4 days.
Yes.
I mean, I thought Don and I were going to be, you know, some dog would come in and eat our dead bodies, and nobody. It was truly apocalyptic.
Yeah, because
people were burning furniture on our cul-de-sac. People were burning their own furniture to stay warm on our cul-de-sac.
I'll find a way. I it's the water part to me. I mean, you can go out and buy all the gallons of water that you want, but for women, the shower, the hair, the toilet, and all that stuff, they can use candles. I mean, electricity. You know what I mean? I can, if it's cold enough, I can put it in coolers and leave it outside. I mean, that part is fine. It's the water part. So you need the electricity. So you need that generator to get that water up. So I just got to figure out, can I do it with a solar generator? Is that possible? But people are saying that's pretty hard. Now, they're trying to get a lot of the wells around the areas, you know, to be solar wells,
sure.
Period.
Sure.
Well, everybody wants to do solar and everything, but
It's just a story, you know. I mean, yeah, but the story, the winter storm issue,
yes.
Was not going to be solved by solar. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not.
So as you said, just
fire.
Go ahead and get yourself some couple things of gas and get yourself a gas generator and get that thing going, and store it that way. That's probably towards the way I'm looking at it anyway, Monty. You're
store
right
that carbon.
Absolutely. Just don't tell me that I can't get gas.
But
just don't let me get to the point where sorry. You already reached your limit this month of getting gas. You won't be able to put any in that generator. I don't want to get to that point. Like I said, I just don't want that Revenant deal again.
But as far as battery disposal, Ty, noted. That's a good point. You know?
No, that's something that, you know, they don't really tell you.
Well, and not only that, but I mean the negative impact of the environment is also they're using as their numbers the fact that a lot of people do dispose of them,
correctly.
You know,
yeah.
Incorrectly, and,
yeah.
And so when you come up with the whatever point something that the battery does in terms of degradation, it you know, a lot of times that involves or includes people throwing them away, you know, in the garbage. which you're not supposed to
just
do.
Just throwing them out in the landfill somewhere.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Billy Packer.
Oh, yeah.
Monty.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, man.
Get ready, Ty, for old man. Ty, do you know who Billy Packer is?
I do not. Who is it?
He was a former player at Wake Forest, I think. He was a...
From Pennsylvania. His dad coached at Lehigh University in Bethlehem.
Is he known?
He was a broadcaster. He and Al McGuire truly brought the NCAA tournament into its current... there would be no March Madness without Al McGuire and Billy Packer, in my opinion.
Dick Enberg was...
Was your anchor.
Part of that crew. That's what got me really into basketball. I mean, growing up in North Carolina, I've always been a Tar Heel fan. By the way, I liked Davison basketball before Steph Curry got there, way before he played at Davison. But Billy Packer, just the old Pennsylvania dude, the old Keystone Stater.
He and Al McGuire had such chemistry, and it was truly like it was two old coaches just talking about the game. But it was the first time you really kind of got the idea of basketball strategy and depth. The NBA was not doing anything like that.
Well, Enberg held them up pretty well and let them coach.
Yeah, he did.
He let those two dudes coach.
He kind of just ran the show part of it and let Al McGuire. Let Al McGuire and Billy Packer talk about basketball. But you pointed out the Magic Johnson.
One of the great broadcasts was the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson national championship with all three of those dudes.
I think it's still the highest rated.
Yeah, it was
highest
amazing.
Rated of all time.
It was amazing. Those guys were fantastic to have the two coaches.
Michigan State won that, right?
Michigan State did.
Yep. That was a great
It was great Indiana game. State, Michigan State? Right?
Yeah. Greg Kelser. I remember thinking Magic Johnson may make the pros, but Greg Kelser's going to be the guy. That's what I thought, which shows how little I truly know.
Did you watch the Lakers HBO thing?
You know, I haven't seen it. I really should, because I love the whole Showtime concept, and was early in his career a Magic apologist. I'll never forget when Magic Johnson had to sub for Kareem when Kareem got his eye scratched, and
he played center.
Yeah, or was it a re-injury of his eye or something? But Magic Johnson had to come in and play center in the NBA Finals and scored like 37 points or something as a rookie center after playing point guard the whole time. It became very clear quickly what a true talent, what God-given talent he had. But, no, I mean, a long-winded answer is no, I haven't seen it yet. And it's really good. Really wanted
it. It's funny.
I heard it was real good. And I'm a huge fan of Riley.
John C. Riley.
Yeah, I think John C. Riley is great. Yeah.
He plays Jerry Buss really well.
Yeah. And did you see that Jeannie Buss married Jay Moore?
Yeah.
Good God.
Jay Moore, the comedian?
And kind of mediocre sports commentator.
Jay Moore,
yeah, actor. He's great in Go. You ever seen the movie Go?
Yes.
He's great in that.
Go Get Myself
and
Lunch.
Is he in Go? I think he is. Anyway, he's great in Jerry Maguire. I almost called him Barry Maguire. Jay Moore's great.
Jay Moore, married Jeannie Buss.
Yeah.
Nice. Very, very nice. I'm going 49ers, not 49, I'm going Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Super Bowl all the way.
Me too.
And I got to get you going in that direction. I don't know which one it is. You're still leaning on Patrick Mahomes and the Magic, huh?
Yeah, I'm
in the home game.
49ers,
Chiefs. So they're calling Arrowhead, Burrowhead.
You're taking the home teams.
I think so. I mean, or no, I'm not taking Philadelphia.
Oh, no, he's taking a 49ers. Yeah. You're taking Shanahan.
That NFC title game, my hate for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that's hard for a Dallas
it's
Cowboys
just
fan.
Like, and yeah, I, well, nobody listens to my pick.
Should maybe hating them both.
I do. Yeah. I mean, but I'm a young Cowboys fan, so my hate for the 49ers. They really just kind of put us to bed the past few years.
put us to bed. Yeah,
not much of a rivalry.
Philadelphia's just a pain in the ass.
It's more about the fan base
for sure
than it is the actual team. You know, I like watching that team play. It's just, I don't know. Don't take my picks into, you know, if you're trying to weigh betting, following me on my.
This is all about the heart with you right now.
No,
that's what I was thinking.
So don't listen to me.
That's why I'm trying to bring your heart out of it. I'm not a Philadelphia Eagles fan, but I just think they're the better team. I think they're the best team in football.
I think they have the better quarterback and the better – I just don't think they have the better defense, though. And that's – you know, usually that's the first two things I look at is how good is your quarterback, mm-hmm. how good is your defense, especially in the playoffs. And, you know, each of these teams having one of those, it makes a really hard game to pick.
Yeah, well, I would just say this for when you're talking about Philadelphia and the 49ers, they're both in the – they're in the top five in all the categories, all of them. And especially – and Philadelphia's right there in defense,
San Francisco
too.
Not?
Yeah, that's offense. What I'm saying. They're all in. They're both. Those two are in the top five in every category when it comes to defense, and damn near it in everything in offense too.
So, who out of the four teams left, who do you think's the worst team?
Worst complete team. The team that has more offense, and that would be the Kansas City Chiefs. That to me still really lacks it in defense.
Okay, I think I'd agree with you.
Yeah, if you tell me Isaiah Pacheco is going to get off. Against Cincinnati this week.
Did you watch that guy run last week?
I watched that guy. He is a physical runner.
And he can hit the next gear, too, if he gets out in the open.
How about finding that guy from Rutgers? Tell me they can't find you anywhere if they're really looking for you. If you're really an unbelievable college football player that you feel like you have to go to Texas, and Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Alabama, if you're good, they will find you.
Well, I mean, it's a Big Ten school. Of course they're going to find you.
God.
Yeah, I just think a even slightly hobbled Mahomes really changes things. It really does.
And I do too, Monty. That's the thing. If you told me Patrick Mahomes was healthy right now, I just think Cincinnati is that team that Joe Burrow is just that good. If Joe Burrow goes to the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl, he's not going to be far off from what Patrick Mahomes is right now, I would believe.
No, that's right.
Well, in the public eye, he'd have to be better, right?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be, yeah. No, like I say, the whole lead
four
will be
wins
4-0.
Over him.
The lead will be 4-0 if the Bengals win.
Now, for me, when it comes to who's got the most weapons, I still think Patrick Mahomes. Because Kelce is more than just a weapon. He's a weapon that nobody's stopping him. They've tried everything they can. You double-team him. You got a guy under him, over the top of him. Patrick Mahomes will still find a way to get to him. And that's why, even on the bad leg, he's going to him. But how accurate can he be going to him on that leg? And I know everybody will say, well, the guy throws from every level, the sidearm thing. It's just, in this kind of game, the stakes are high right now.
If you have trouble planting your foot, it's going to be hard. You can throw underhand. You can throw like a frisbee. It doesn't matter if you can't plant your foot.
I just don't think it's going to work for him. And plus, I just think Joe Burrow's that good right now.
He is.
He's really on a winning streak right now. Yeah. He's not only a winning streak against the NFL, but he's for that particular team. He knows how to play against Kansas City. And he wins at home, and he wins on the road against them. So I think I'm leaning towards them. And they've got quite the weapons, too. And as you said, Monty, they're going to run the ball 15 times than they did last time they played.
I think they're going to run it like
even
crazy.
Against Buffalo. Weather's not going to seem to be a factor. I think it's been raining in Philadelphia or snowing in Philadelphia, but it's game time, you know, in the 40s. That's just fine. Let's take a quick break, come back, talk some more NFL football, college basketball when we return. It's B&E. It's Friday morning.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back. B&E, Monty Williams joining me. Ty, of course, is here.
And, lyrics to this song are great, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great song. Lyrics are great.
I want to thank Text Line for talking to me about these generators and all this stuff. Costco has a decent-sized tri-fuel. There you go. We're talking only $700. It's not bad. Now, my wife is the Costco queen, so she knows about the generators from Costco. But I'll tell you what. You know, we were having this discussion, and I'm trying to figure out a way I need a generator just in case the Revenant shows up again. I don't need it. I just want you all to know I can tough it out. It's the lady of the house. They will not tough it out. She's not going that direction. She's going, go get a generator just in case the electricity, forget the frozen pipe thing. I'm talking about electricity that can't pull up the water to the house. We need to get the generator that can bring it up there. Now, I know how to keep the pipes warm now. I know you can't just go out there and just say, okay, this place is insulated so well. Hell no. When it gets freezing cold and the ground gets cold around here, you need to have that little warmer inside the pump house or by the big tank. Even not so much, Monty, by the big tank. By the way, how hard it is for that water in those 30,000-gallon, 25,000-gallon tank to freeze. a plastic tank that if you put any sunshine on it will warm.
It will warm right up.
Yeah, it'll warm more. Now, nobody using metal tanks anymore.
And that's the thing. I mean, in a rural situation like you find yourself with an 800-foot well.
Rural, I live out in the country, my friend. Yeah. There's no rural. I'm a country man.
You're a country man.
Yeah.
But well,
I have never been, and I know this is just, I'm the same guy that will leave the engine on at the fuel pump and pump gas and just go. But I'm the guy who doesn't cook with gas. I've never been a part of a gas house. And Ty, you guys are telling me about it. And I always hear about, oh, it cooks evenly. It's just great. You can do that. I've had electric stoves in my whole entire life. My mama had one growing up in North Carolina, into Pennsylvania. My houses, we have a beautiful electric stove. It's a special, you had to use special kind of pots on it. I've never, ever dealt. I don't like propane. I don't mess around with tanks. I don't like tanks. Tanks are like motorcycles to me. I fear them. I think something's going to explode. But once again, I'm the guy who leaves the gas.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I don't get that.
You got to get out of that habit for sure.
No.
Pumping gas into a running car.
When was the last time you saw a gas station blow up because somebody had... You haven't seen one yet, have you? So don't worry. You're
RoboCop's
fine.
RoboCop's the last time I saw it.
RoboCop. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's B&E Friday morning. Come join us.